This is a replay of the Wednesday, April 23rd WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
James, we have 3 hours to spend together, and if it's on your mind, I'll make sure that it is on mine. All right, so I was doing my homework today. If you remembered, I promised Eduardo. Eduardo had called and said, hey, have you heard about the guy who's walking from San Diego to Miami? And I said, well, yeah. So he said, well, why? What's going on? And I said, well, I don't know. Let's find out. And the first thing I saw, by the way, was on TikTok claiming that he was doing it because he got a vision. Now, this interested me tremendously, and I thought, let's find out about the vision. I don't know. All right. But here's what I found out. And that is that this is not an unusual thing. Well, it's not normal either, but I found at least a half dozen of them in the last year. A lot of people. And my favorite was a guy just this month, Juan Carlos Lopez Gomez, 20-year-old U.S. citizen. Now, that's important. Being held in the Leon County Jail in Florida, charged with illegally entering Florida. Now, I think this is a link I'm clicking on. And what do I get? I get TikTok. I don't know about you, but I couldn't make heads or tails out of the 15 pictures I saw and what would have related to Juan Carlos. So I don't know what the deal is with him. You have others who say, oh, no, the guy with the vision, that's not real. All right. Well, we know that Kendall Edwards is real. And last year, he walked to all four corners of the continental United States on his journey. He's a recovering addict. And I know you'd say it sounds like he's still in Better Living Through Chemistry classes. Well, he was actually walking to raise awareness of mental health issues. He's been considered a walking testimony with over 5,000 miles. I don't know if he's completed it or not yet. But then there was Ron Zaleski. And Ron, this was also just a few months ago I saw this. He was walking across the country to raise awareness for veteran suicide prevention. So, but the thing is, I looked at this and it's person after person. And I had no idea. And I don't know how well it is highlighting highlighting the issues for which they are walking. But yeah, Ron Zaleski and the long walk home was an interesting story all the way around. But of course, the other guy, Kendall Ray Edwards, he was interesting, too. And I guess you have to be driven in a way that most of us aren't to do something like this. But I failed Eduardo because I didn't find out about the guy with the vision. And that was Juan Carlos Lopez Gomez. All I know is supposedly that he was in the Leon County Jail a week ago. I don't know. And again, it's a TikTok thing, so this is someone better than I on those visual things to find out what that is. But that's all we know. But I did my homework. Yeah. I don't know if you requested any bumpers last night. I didn't do that homework. I lost the list. I do remember that We got one call asking me to play a favorite record of John, and he picked up Wild Cherry, 1, 2, 3 Kind of Love, which is a wonderful song. I'm always thrilled to play it, and we'll talk a little about that, and we will play it. But other than that, if you called in a request last night, well, I'm not going to get to it unless you let me know again because I lost the list. All right, 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. We'll get to Sherry in a moment, but first I wanted to mention the Sea Crane Company. And you know I think Bob Crane should be knighted. Yeah, many decades ago now, when he was dissatisfied with the state of reception that the current radios had, and this, especially in the 80s, you know, AM was an afterthought. Maybe they spent a nickel on that tuner. FM wasn't so great either. They were always talking about quality, but not reception. And Bob said, I can do better. And he did. And since then, he's designed a number of radios, and the one commonality to all of them is they just have terrific reception, AM and FM. So if you're not hearing it well, and if the signal is over your head, it's not going to be magic. If the signal's not there, it won't pick it up. But if the signal is there, this radio will pick it up better than anything else, all of them. And all of them have unique features. And one of my favorites is the CC Radio Solar, now with Bluetooth. And the reason I like this one so much is that it's really the ultimate in emergency preparedness because it's going to work no matter what. Oh, sure, on normal days, you could get the AC adapter and use it with power. You could put in the batteries. That's no problem. Use it that way. You could even put it in a windowsill and let the solar panel do the work for you. But what happens when you didn't put it in the windowsill, the batteries are dead and the power's out? Well, it's got a little hand crank on the back. You hand crank it for about 30 seconds, it'll play for about 30 minutes. So it's going to work no matter what. And by the way, it will also charge up a cell phone. Now, not completely. You're not going to use it to browse or anything like that. But if you need to make that one important call and the phone is completely dead, this is the radio that could actually bring it back to life. It also has a built-in LED flashlight because let's face it, when the power's off at night, what do you care about? You care about having a flashlight, and you probably want to know what's going on. And it's good looking, too. It's about the size of a brick. It's white. It's really neat. It's got 5 one-touch memories. It's got digital readout and all the bells and whistles you'd expect that way. And, of course, the weather band and NOAA weather. And it even doubles as a Bluetooth speaker because it is really nice. So you can go to ccradio.com and check it out anytime. ccradio.com. Look at the CC Solar with Bluetooth. Or if you can't go online, give them a call. They've got the world's best customer service. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. 24 hours a day. You can order online, by phone if you want. They'll answer all your questions. And they'll send you a hard copy of the catalog by mail. And it's nice to have the catalog because there's not only really neat products, but a lot of good information about radio as well. How to make a simple, powerful AM loop antenna for free. That's in there and more. So if you're calling, great, 800-522-8863. But if you can go online, but you want to go to ccradio.com right now. Now, it's available, you know, for immediate shipping at Amazon or REI. But before you do that, go to ccradio.com and read all about it. I think you'll like it as much as I do. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
There's a snow in between. Now you're the only one.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. There they are, Wild Cherry on Epic. 1, 2, 3, Kinda Low. That's a favorite. And yeah, there's a Wild Cherry story, that's for sure. They actually started as a hard rock band in Ohio, and in fact, they were signed to Terry Knight's label, and they did 3 or 4 records that did absolutely nothing, so they broke up in 1975. But then Rob Parisi, who was the lead of that group, formed another band. He got a group of guys from Pittsburgh and formed the group that we know of as Wild Cherry, and of course, it's always this way, that the record that, you know, is almost a throwaway, something that he wrote, sort of his experiences, play that funky music, white boy, of course, becomes a huge hit. Well, that's it. They never could follow it. And I know Rob for a while was not happy about any of this and left the label and ultimately, though, came back to music as a producer. And he writes and records things like smooth jazz and, you know, okay, fine. I'm unfamiliar with that line of his work, but man, I'll tell you, I thought 1, 2, 3 Kinda Love was just the best, and actually hadn't heard it when it came out, and I should have. It was on Epic, for God's sakes, and it was in the 70s, but what it was that there was a Beach Music cover, a little group called North Tower, and anytime I hear a Beach Music song I really like, the first thing, if it's a local Beach Music band, the first thing I think is, okay, who are they covering? Because invariably that's the case, and sure enough, looking for it, I found the Wild Cherry 1, 2, 3 Kinda Love, and just love it, and I play it fairly regularly, and when someone called the other night and said, pick a record that John really likes, there you go, he picked that. He also picked September, which I said, well, maybe that's such a big hit, but he does like that, and yeah, well, who wouldn't, really, Earth, Wind, and Fire? And that was written by a girl who used to be an assistant in the publicity department of Columbia Epic. Yeah, Allie Willis. And she's no longer with us. And then when I kind of said, I don't know, too much of a hit, he went for Forever by the Marvelettes. Now, I can be on board with that. So we'll see. All right, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we've got Sherry in Naperville. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Riley. I was listening last night.
Oh, good.
And you know how you play the bumpers and then you say what it is afterwards?
Yep.
Like he sang it or he wrote it and
yep.
Somebody else did it.
Yep.
So I'm going to have, I would like to review the whole session on your website.
Okay.
And I know how to do that.
Yep.
But I am very grateful to you for all that music history lesson.
Now, what I will say is I should have done a little preamble beforehand. This is my taste, so I played the stuff I love. But the things that made him an icon, we're talking Curtis Mayfield, by the way, are the things I didn't play, you know, all the social music and all that, which...
but the biography and everything.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah, absolutely.
Stuff I had no clue about. And that other person, you said he sang with...
Jerry Butler.
Jerry Butler.
Right.
You know, I heard his name like a couple months ago.
Sure,
and found out he was a Chicago councilman after he finished singing. And I was going to ask you like a couple months ago to talk about him. But at any rate,
We actually did, because sadly, Jerry Butler died in February.
Yeah,
so I remember seeing him
on a PBS WTCW our station. He was hosting, because, you know, when you start with doo-wop, do you remember I said, well, what exactly is doo-wop? Can you explain it? But now I got the gist of it all. But because of you and because I would watch the PBS specials. And so now it's kind of like... a certain groove of music. But I do like it. And, but I didn't know that's what was labeled. I mean, what it was called.
Well, that actually is a much later name. That name, the guy who coined it doo-wop was a guy named Gus Gossard, who sadly was murdered. But anyway, Gus was a weekend jock in New York who used to do these oldies concerts and stuff like that, and he named it doo-wop. And he got it, obviously, from the sound in the songs, all the nonsensical syllables. But what it really is, it's vocal group harmony. That's what the music is. And so,
yeah.
And that's what it was and always is. But we call it doo-wop, you know, again, because of the nonsensical lyrics, but it was Gus Gossard who gave us that.
But I notice also that they mostly do that dancing?
Well, dancing, there's a number of dances. I don't know that I call them doo-wop, but
what I mean is like the strutting similarly.
Yeah, right. Well, that period of time did produce a number of dances, but I'm not 100% everything from the Madison to
the
Stroll.
Zoot suit era? Is that what
No, Zoot suit actually goes back further. That goes back to the 20s.
Okay.
Zoot suits. You know, as far as that goes.
I don't know what actually one of them looked like.
But,
I heard of them.
Yeah, you know, sometimes like a lot of the East LA stuff and all that, it'd be like, I can't even say it, but you go zoot suit. You know, I mean, they have that, but it really goes back to the 20s. And so, the supersized shoulder pads and all that. I mean, it's a specific look. And I think that probably the first time it was really brought up, a lot of pictures and all that, were riots in 1943. And that was in Los Angeles. And you had a lot of Mexican-Americans who were wearing what became the zoot suit. But I think that you can really take it back further than that. But, the supersized shoulder pads. And it was popular in Harlem in the 30s. Like I say, that riot in the 40s really made it mainstream. But, yeah, you look at the 30s and you look at pictures of Dizzy Gillespie or Louis Armstrong, and you can see that it was in evidence.
Thank you. And I want to thank you and thank you and thank you over and over again, because it was very informative and historical, and you did take the time and you did showcase it, so to speak, and give a music history lesson, and it was wonderful to me.
I thank you, because I love playing those records, so it gave me a good excuse.
Oh, good.
All right.
And I just want to apologize. That's why I mentioned that other station. I won't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because that kind of connects me to my grandparents' era.
Sure. All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
And I love learning.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Thank you so much.
All right. And while we were talking, I actually found the four records Sergeant Pappy wanted. Okay, I found a list. And I'm not sure that anybody requested Johnny Flamingo. I'm not sure why I wrote that down, but who knows? Maybe that was just me. But I think we'll have the Dells after the news, now that I found this list. A little Dry Your Eyes, and we got the Shells and the Silhouettes and Cliff Nobles. All right, so I found those requests. If you had another one on the list, you'll have to tell me about it. And we'll get to that. And your calls, Bob in Milwaukee. Back to people walking across the America. There's a lot of them. So we'll talk about one of them with Bob coming up on WGN Radio. James, that's the first of Sergeant Pappy's four packs, and that's the Dells. Dry Your Eyes, 1958 on VJ. It actually was a B-side. 888-876-5593. That takes us to Bob in Milwaukee. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Riley. How are you?
All right. So what's up?
Your discussion on walking across America reminded me of a unique person from Wisconsin. There was a man named Bob Wieland.
Oh, yeah.
And he lost both of his legs in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And came back, and actually he started walking on his hands.
Right.
He had like boxing glove type things, and he would walk on his hands. And first he went and did the New York Marathon, and did it in about 4 days, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then he walked across America on his hands, raising money for disabled veterans.
Yeah.
It took him several years, but this was continuous. It wasn't that he started and then would stop and, you know, 2 months later start again. He continuously went across the country. After that, he became a motivational speaker. He actually was from the high school that I worked at as a school psychologist, and he came back and did a program for the students there. And he did programs across the country on TV, became quite a personality. Another interesting thing is he started, because he was so strong, upper body, he got into weightlifting, and he started winning international competitions in different weight classes because he didn't have any legs. And they actually had to change the rules because without any legs, his body weight wasn't that great, and he could lift so much more than anybody else.
Yeah, and I guess he's still alive.
Yes, I think he's 76 years old. I looked him up waiting to come on.
Okay, because I know that accident was 1969, and it was really interesting because he was going to be a baseball player. I think he was negotiating with the Phillies.
Right,
yeah.
Right. When I was a kid, I actually used to live across from a park where the Greenfield High School played.
Okay.
And he was the star pitcher, and he was unbelievable as a high school pitcher. Really was kind of a hero in the area.
Yeah.
And then later he became a hero for what he did.
Absolutely, and went on to many, many more marathons, and I think some of them, like at the Kona thing, he's the only guy who ever was able to do that without a wheelchair as far as doing
it. Yeah, he's quite an inspirational figure.
Yeah, and he was on a TV show for a while, too, Spoon. So that's terrific. It's so interesting, because when you read about him, I mean, the reason he was injured is he was immediately, without hesitation, trying to help a friend, and it cost him his legs. And, you know, good for him. He did extremely well. I can't imagine, because the deal about walking across the country on his hands, that took him almost four years, like three years and 9 months or something.
He would kind of swing his body, put these mitts down, and then swing his body and land. And he had a special thing for where he had lost his leg, so his trunk was kind of flat. So that was also, he had like an apparatus built to protect that, and he'd swing his body and go across the whole country.
Unbelievable. And I'm delighted he's still with us, and I'm sure probably still doing motivational speaking.
Right.
Yeah. You know, interestingly, the only reason I knew about him is he's on one of those lists of people who walked across the United States. And I didn't bring that up because a lot of them are a long time ago. But this is a lot of people when you get down to it. And it's for various reasons, most of which were raising awareness and raising money for various causes, to say the least.
Right. But in kind of a related thing, there is a run that people do, ultra marathoners.
Uh-huh.
And they run from Death Valley to the top of Mount Whitney.
Oh God!
In California, it's supposed to be like the most difficult run in America.
I hope they don't do it in summer.
Well, I think they time it, but it's still very warm while they're running.
Wow.
I saw a documentary on it on TV, it's pretty incredible too.
Yeah, well, it is. It absolutely is, and it's always good to keep this in mind when the rest of us are, you know, crying and moaning about this, that, or the other that means nothing. And then
we have to go out to the mailbox to get the newspaper.
Right, exactly. And then you read stories like this, and it sort of puts it in a very good perspective.
Yeah, I would encourage anybody who is interested to take a look. You know, go on Google and look up Bob Wieland. It's Wieland.
Yeah.
And you might be able to. I think, in fact, they have videos on there where you can actually see him doing this.
YouTube. And, go to YouTube as well and just put in his name.
It's an incredible guy.
Yeah, yeah, no, 100%. And like I said, what caused me to look at this was this guy supposedly who got a vision, and now I don't even know if he existed, this one Carlos Lopez Gomez who supposedly was arrested. But while I was doing that, so many people, and most of them, I will say, not really as mind-numbing as Bob Wieland when you realize what he did, but all people who, you know, walked across the country against all odds to raise...
Right.
You know, most recently, I think veteran suicide last year, Ron Zaleski did that. So, yeah. It's,
and the endeavor, you know, it takes a support staff.
Oh.
They have to have someone with them to provide them with food and a, you know, on a van and give them medical attention as they need it.
Oh, yeah. And
it's
not,
a big endeavor.
It is a big endeavor. And you also need someone with business sense as well, because you're going to raise money to do this, not only for the charity, but to be able to do the walk. So
right.
Sure, it's it absolutely is an endeavor that very few people could pull off. But it shows you what the power of real desire is, because most of these people, you look at their lives and it's not like they were suited for this forever. They just, you know, got it in mind, took it upon themselves and did it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your time.
I'm glad you called. I hope you will again.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Good night.
All right. So, yeah, it is. It really does put things in perspective. You know, we go through our days and we're moaning about this, that, or the other thing. And in the final analysis, most of it doesn't matter a whit. And then you read about what people are devoting their lives to and what they're doing against all odds, you know, to lose both legs. I know there was a thing online a while ago, may still be there, about Bob writing to his parents while he was in the hospital, you know, saying, I'm fine. They're taking good care of me. All's well. Oh, P.S. I think I lost my legs, you know, and it really was a P.S. to him. He came back. And again, this is a guy who was an athlete. You know, this is a guy who's going to be with the Phillies and all that. And he came back really made a difference. So yeah, people do it all the time. But I still want to know. And like I say, I'm starting to think that maybe it isn't even real, because the only place I'm seeing it is TikTok, and I can't even read it. But the idea of Juan Carlos Lopez Gomez, 20-year-old in jail in Florida, as he's walking across the country due to a vision. Yeah. If you can find the vision, please let me know. 888-876-5593. We'll have John in Covington, and we got James on the South Side, and Ruth and Gurney, and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Before I leave, I want to know, do you love me? Do you really, really? I wanna know, what do you need?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, Cliff Nobles. I know, it doesn't sound like the horse. It's from an album, Pony the Horse, 1969. That one was on Moonshot, which something tells me that Nate McKellar and Moish Levy might have had something to do with that label, but I'm not sure. Anyway, after the big hit for Cliff Nobles and Company, The Horse, yes, and that was the second one of Sergeant Pappy's four-pack, so we'll get to the others as well. Now, 888-876-5593. John is in Covington. Hey, John, what's up tonight?
Hey, Raleigh. I just heard this a couple days ago. I know Wink Martindale has passed away, but did he have... I heard that he had a hit record to make the top 40. Is that true?
Yeah, Deck of Cards. It was interesting because he had just gotten from Memphis. He got the job doing mornings at KHJ, you know, when they were still an MOR station. And while he was doing Morning Drive, and he was on Dot for a while, Randy Wood's label. He'd been on some other little labels, you know, no hits or anything. But Deck of Cards, which was a remake of a T. Tyler record and Tex Ritter as well from 1951, he had a remake with it, and it was a top 10 record. I played it.
I'll be sure. Yeah. Oh, did you? I missed it. Okay. The other thing is I was listening to old time radio, so I was listening to Red Skelton show, and he had a group on. Oh my God, they were so good. The Four Knights.
They were from Charlotte. Yeah, they were big in the 40s, and so a lot of stuff on Shellac. Decca. They were mostly on Decca, but they had some stuff, I think, on Coral and then later maybe even on Capitol. The Four Knights, like I say, they were a Charlotte group. I'm trying to think who was the lead. Maybe Gene Alford might have been the lead. So anyway,
well, I couldn't tell you that, but I did look up. I asked my device to play some of their music.
Well,
They were back up to Nat King Cole.
Well, they did a lot of that. But if you go back, if you look, and there'll probably be something on this too, Southland Jubilee Singers, because that's what they were before they changed their name to the Four Knights.
I see.
And
But
they were big. They did a lot of national radio. You know, they used to be on WBT in Charlotte, which was a big deal, and there were transcription discs for that. You know, so they were an absolute real deal. And
well, you talk about harmonization. They were singing a cappella harmonization, and it was unbelievably good.
Yeah. No, mostly shellac, but in the 50s, they had a couple albums. I think Coral put out some albums, but they were well known in their time, that's for sure.
Okay, one more thing, and it's a request. Hopefully you play it, and if you don't, that's fine. Next week will be fine if you do. Cab Driver by the Mills Brothers.
Oh, okay, sure. I got that. Let me write down and hopefully not lose the paper, since that's what I seem to be good at. And John and coming. All right. Absolutely.
That'll do it.
If I've got any Four Knights on this computer, I'll play it, but I don't think I do. It's a little farther back, but you never know. I'll look.
All right. Thanks, Raleigh.
Right. Sure thing. All right. So depending on the mood I was into, what I put on it, 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And Ruth is in Gurnee. All right, Ruth, what's up?
Oh, hi, Raleigh. Thank you, Raleigh James University and your archives. I heard a few days ago someone, he said, what were you doing in 1968?
Yeah, right.
And so I thought that was interesting, and I wanted to call, and I wasn't going to call tonight, but I wondered, was there going to be such a good topic or comment made tonight? And would I do that, make the call, not knowing I'd charge my phone enough for it? So thanks for going quickly. So in 1968, I was working for Abin Post, Danila Sattel, ethnic newspapers, Polish Devota, advertising agency, doing switchboard, which I loved the 1920 switchboard, which I would do over at House Beautiful Good Housekeeping for their substitute for their switchboard apron was elsewhere or whatever. But back to 1968, I got called to go to the O'Hare Airport, the military tarmac, for the airlift of the thousands of soldiers that had been brought in during the Democratic National Convention. And the director of the Chicago Red Cross called me and said, I don't think we'd find somebody at this particular moment that would be able to go there. So Dr. John Zuloff took me. He was stationed at Great Lakes Naval Base, where I volunteered for Red Cross. And then here comes my jackpot question. The fellow that you spoke about, the Vietnam veteran, what branch of the service was he in?
I don't know.
When was he at the Great Lakes Naval Hospital? Because after they were at Bethesda, which is where they usually sent them, before the family would see them that were Midwest-born soldiers, they would then be at the only closest military hospital, which was Naval Station Great Lakes.
All right, I'll tell
you. Of course, I'll
answer your question. He was a combat medic in the Army.
So that the hospital there was a medical hospital.
And 1969.
Okay, I was volunteering then at that time. But that was the hospital that was Corman there.
Okay,
I'm
out of time. I'm out of time.
Okay.
All right, talk to you later. Thanks.
You
appreciate
answer
it.
The questions as usual.
Good
bye
deal.
Bye.
Talk to you later. All right, so that's where we'll pick it up next hour with James and you. And, I found some Four Nights, actually. Four Nights with Nat King Cole, no doubt. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio. And I will. Found a lot of their stuff, including the Nat King Cole stuff, and I will. But that's the third of Sergeant Pappy's four-pack, and that's the Shells. And Deep in My Heart, obviously, 1962 on Johnson. But Mary is a first-time caller, and she is in London, Ontario. Good Top 40 radio back in the day there. Hello, Mary. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Yes. Hello, Raleigh James. My name is Mary. I'm calling from London, Ontario, Canada. I've just discovered your radio show in 2025. I find it a great comfort. Thank you, and may you have a nice night.
Aren't you kind? Now, did you grow up in London?
Yes, I've always lived here.
Okay, so you probably remember people like Dick Williams on several radio stations, or so many, CFPL 980, or even St. Thomas's CHLO. Trying to think of CJO 1290, CKSL 1410. Do you have any favorite jocks from back in the day?
Yes, but I'm a little scared tonight, so I'm just going to leave it for that way now.
Okay.
And I hope you and your listeners have a nice time listening to you as well.
Well, terrific.
Thank
Call
you.
Me again. Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, London, Ontario had some good top 40 radio in the 60s. Like I say, CHLO, that was St. Thomas, but it was, for all purposes, it was London. But CFPL, they used to call themselves the Lively Guys. I remember that was 980. And that 1410 CKSL, or, of course, the 1290 CJO, that was easy to remember. So, yeah, those are the ones that came to mind quickly when I saw Mary in London. Yeah, good top 40 radio there. All right, so 888-876-5593 takes us to James on the south side. How's it going, James?
Fine. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Always.
And how are you doing?
I'm here. So we're better than the guy who was upset his girlfriend's family went on a cruise. Now, you see, I was waiting for him to shoot them up. Now, fortunately, he didn't do that. In this case, he just called in a bomb threat.
Yeah, which I guess, okay, we can admire his restraint.
No, please. It was a guy from Kalamazoo, 19 years old. He's going to jail now. This was a carnival cruise, which had more excitement than the cruise goers expected back in January a year ago, apparently he sent an email to Carnival Cruise Line saying, hey, I think someone might have a bomb on your Sunrise cruise ship. And so that departed from Miami and was going to Jamaica, part of a Caribbean cruise. And on board was this guy's girlfriend and her family, who apparently left him at home to look after the pets while they went on holiday. And, you know, that scared me, too, because I thought this was going to be a story about he killed the pets. Fortunately, he didn't. And so apparently the crew checked over 1,000 rooms after the ship departed. They also had to call in the Coast Guard and the Jamaican authorities, and they escorted the ship to port and FBI agents, and they traced the address to Lowe. Yeah, well, and he was living with the girlfriend's family. I guess he admitted he sent the email because he was upset that they went on a cruise without him. Well, so he said, it's all my fault. I take full responsibility. No kidding, Sherlock. And
at the very least, he admitted that he was a real dunce.
Well, and so he has 8 months to spend time thinking about it, far lower than the maximum 5 years he was facing. And anyone making a bomb threat should realize that they will be taken at their word, because there is no way that either a cruise ship or an airline or whatever it is, hotel, I don't care, there's no way that they're just going to laugh it off, because, of course, if something were to happen, they would be responsible. So bomb threats are absolutely not a laughing matter. And so that diverts law enforcement. I'm surprised, and maybe it is, and we're just not reading it in the article, but I'm surprised that they didn't hit this guy with all the costs involved.
I'm considering the amount of resources diverted from much more, more serious matters.
Right. Right, and that's bad enough, but still, like you say, restraint. At least he didn't kill her. Well, then we have your next story. Poor Julie Johnson, a hardworking single mother, loved by many, beautiful spirit, radiated, you know what's coming. And she 34 years old, from Michigan, dating a 44-year-old man, and the man's ex-girlfriend is also, by the way, the mother of his two children. And apparently, here come police responding to the apartments where they find Julie suffering from multiple gunshot wounds right outside of the new boyfriend Jim's apartment. She'd been shot 7 times. And so they discovered, now this was the part that I found interesting, they discovered $533,000 inside his condominium, along with a 9mm serial number filed off, bag of marijuana, $12,000 in cash, and his F-150 parked in the driveway. The truck was equipped with hidden compartments. You'd think that Julie early on should have been aware that maybe this wasn't the best relationship. And initially they thought that her death might be related to him, since after all, he was a known drug dealer on lifetime probation. But as the investigation progressed, now we have the aforementioned ex-girlfriend, Marcy, along with two guys. And apparently Marcy, remember, that was Jim's ex-girlfriend, if you're following along, apparently recruited her new boyfriend and his friend to kill Julie. So these are fine, upstanding people, as you can see. Firstly, I don't know how Julie didn't get out of Dodge long before this. But then, you know, here's Marcy, the ex-girlfriend, who is now involved with another guy. The other guy, you know, honey, could you kill my ex-boyfriend? Who says, sounds like a good idea to me? No. So,
Know, the poor lady, basically, she made one bet, and who knows, maybe this guy was probably trying to go straight. He said, I can't get rid of this cash, so I just might as well sit on it.
Well, I don't know where the money came from. But meanwhile, all three of them have gotten life in prison without parole. So this is
good.
Yeah, the only thing is, this is actually an older story. I don't know if you're aware
that's
of that.
The only thing. It was like it had sat there, then and for some reason I didn't get a chance to put it up there. Maybe it was because of too many stories.
This is before you were ever listening to me. This happened in like 2019 was the sentencing. You need to read these a little more. But it was an interesting story. But, it's a little out of date. And we assume that all three are still resting in prison. So, there you have it. Now, but I'll tell you, you had one story, and we'll close with this one because I'm saving the best for last. This is huge as far as I'm concerned. I don't know that it's accurate, but we're going to reach singularity within 21 years. Now, the deal we should point out what singularity is. Okay. This is the point when human intelligence and artificial intelligence merge, basically. And so that's singularity. And there was a futurist who said that we were going to do that by the mid 2100s. Well, or maybe, 2100. So what they're saying now is, oops, no, this could be the next 9 years or so in the 21st century. So, pretty good. So,
what kind of scares me, like, me and a friend were, like, discussing about, unfortunately, Elon Musk's neural things, basically, putting your brain, and that's part of what we could say, like, the singularity thing.
That's en route, no doubt about it. And he put a book out 20 years ago called The Singularity is Nearer, and this guy didn't realize how near it was at the time. And so since then, he's been revising it, because originally he was saying that we'll achieve this mark before 2050. He's moved that up a lot now, and he says the way it's going, this could be happening by 2029.
Well, yeah, and I'm reminded, unfortunately, of Blade Runner, where they were the cyborgs who were basically so human that their only problem was that they didn't have the real brilliant ones. Didn't have a long lifespan. Although there was one where apparently I won't say which one because you've never seen the movie. There was one that had no time date.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly a lot of stories, a lot of movies, all that on this subject, because it's obviously of interest, and we've seen it treated in every fashion imaginable. But the interesting question, of course, is if we have created artificial intelligence that is that much greater than human intelligence, when the singularity happens, guess who wins? So ding, ding, ding. That's a little concerning. And so we've moved it up from 2045 to 2029. And for individuals who want to check out, it's Ray Kurzweil. And he's been long arguing that the singularity would be occurring, you know, in our lifetime, some of our lifetimes. I won't be here, but in some of our lifetimes. But now he's saying, it's just around the corner. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, and here's what's going to be very concerning. If that happens, they're already working on, there was like, I recall coming across a YouTube thing about the first cyborg that could pass the Turing test.
Yeah.
I'm like, when I saw this, I said, okay, now the only thing they got to cover up is those little blinking things on her temples, and you won't even know she is, and have her move a little more, and you won't realize she's not you might confuse her for a real human female.
Well, there's all that. And then, of course, we get into the idea that immortality isn't out of the question. I don't know anybody who wants to stay here that long, but they are expecting by 2030 that we will reach longevity escape velocity. Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not wanting to stay. But in any event, as I say, as this progresses, the big issue is going to be, and it sounds like the thing of 2001 or something, but the reality is that, well, if AI is that much more intelligent than man, and if you're talking about us blending together, who wins?
Yeah, mankind becomes the slave.
Well, and isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, right, and then actually reminds me, unfortunately, of a song that actually has gained some traction on the YouTube channel a little bit, Alphaville's Forever Young.
Oh, man. All right, well, we'll talk to you later. Thanks. Appreciate
okay.
it. Right.
Okay,
right,
you have yeah. a nice day.
You too, yeah. Well, we'll skip that. We will get to the Four Knights, yes, going back to the 40s, and Nat King Cole, who actually asked Capitol to get the Four Knights to back him. And first they backed him on A Blossom Fell, and it died, which is interesting to me because, of course, that, you know, to this day is considered a Nat King Cole classic. But the second record... Oh, that was top 20 on both pop and R&B. You'll hear it next on WGN Radio.
You are my personal possession. You're mine alone. You are my personal possession. My very own. Nobody else must kiss you but me. Nobody else must miss you but me. Nobody must dream of you but me. And nobody else must love you but me. You're my personal possession. That's what you are. You're my magnificent obsession, my lucky star. I own you exclusively, darling, you belong. You're my personal possession, my precious love.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Nat King Cole. And actually, you're going to get to hear another one, because that's not the one I plan to play by him. But it was fine, and that absolutely was the group in question. And we will get the Mills Brothers on as well. But more of the Four Knights with, as I mentioned, there was a second record they did with Nat King Cole, turned out to be a big hit, and that was That's All There Is to That. You'll hear it next, coming up on WGN Radio.
Did you ever watch the one you love slowly drifting away from you? And you know deep in your heart there is nothing that you can do to make her stay,
to make her stay,
to turn the tide,
to turn the tide,
to ease the pain,
to ease the pain
that you feel down inside when her eyes it's over and done. Then you simply must face the fact. So you leave and think it over, but you come hurrying back, hoping she'll change her mind, praying she'll take you back. But like the lady said, that's all there is to that.
When her eyes say it's over and done, then you simply must face the facts.
So you leave and think it over, but you come hurrying back, hoping she'll change her mind, praying she'll take you back. But like the lady said,
That's all there is to that.
There you have it on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is Nat King Cole. 1957, Capitol. And, of course, the Four Knights in the background. But, again, the Four Knights had just a ton of wonderful things on their own as well. And yeah, being on the Red Skelton Show was certainly a plus for their success. They were signed to do, I think, 13 weeks. They wound up doing 39. All right, Laurie is in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
Hey, Laurie.
I have some requests that I have to ask you some things about.
Okay.
Number one, Dr. Love. Who did that?
Oh, Bobby Sheen, but also The Whispers. It depends which version.
So, oh, really?
Oh, sure. The first one was Bobby Sheen, and I can play them both for you a little bit, but The Whispers had it as well on Dory. But let me give you a little of Bobby. I'm sure he's here, but yeah. Bobby Sheen was great. He was also Bobby of Bobby Socks and the Blue Jeans, but you never know it. Let's see. Dr. Love. I'm sure it's here.
Because I thought that was mid-70s.
No, the 60s record. All right. Here is the original Bobby Sheen, and he was the original on this.
Custom has always been to introduce the spokesman to you before the story begins. So with no further ado, yeah, let me introduce myself to you. I'm Dr. Love.
So that's the original Bobby Sheen, yeah, and then the Whispers covered it on Dory.
Cool.
1966, Capitol.
Oh, much earlier than I thought it was.
Yeah, good record.
And there's another one called Doctor's Orders.
Oh, Carol, what the heck was her name? It'll come to me in a minute, but I know the record, and I've got it here, I'm sure. So let's see. That's a little later, but Doctor's. Let's see if I can spell it right. And
sounds like disco.
Well, it's absolutely the 70s. It's 74. And, yeah, Carol Douglas was her name. All right, so never did like it, but that here it is.
Hi, honey. It's me. I went to see the doctor today. 'Cause ever since you've been gone, I had a pain deep down inside.
Yeah, Carol Douglas.
Okay. And there is a Dells song I haven't heard forever.
Oh.
Tell the World from 56.
Oh, that's interesting. All right. I'm impressed that you would even know Tell the World, and that is right here. I've even got it on KG. I like that song. I'll be happy to play that for you.
Fantastic.
All right, good deal. Thanks.
Now,
what?
Now we've got from 73, Can't Understand It. Who was singing with Jerry Butler on that one?
I got to look this up. Was this a duet?
Yeah.
Okay, I can think who it might be, but let's see. Understand. Let's see. Brenda Lee Eager. All right, well, she did a lot of stuff with him. Brenda Lee Eager.
And so, how high did that chart?
I'd have to look, but not very much. The bigger hit they had was Ain't Understanding Mellow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that was 71.
And from 65, Evie Sands.
Oh, God.
Any Way That You Want Me.
Oh, God. What about it? What about it?
That's a good song.
If you say so. That was the first thing that charted with her. That actually was from 1970. It was on A&M. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm afraid it was. Any Way You Want Me. I think the single they brought out in 69 and then the album was 70. But, yeah, unfortunately, I do have it. You really want to hear it?
Yeah.
Oh God. All right. Well, I guess. Yeah. If you insist on it, any way you want me. I've got a lot by her. I can't let go. I love making love to you. You brought the woman out of me. Oh God, far too much. All right. Evie Sands, Any Way That You Want Me, 1969 on A&M. All right. What else?
And 1938.
Oh, good God.
And you have had to have been a baby.
Yeah. Oh, good God. Now, what's the song?
I Can't Get Started With You. First name, Buddy. Last name, I don't know.
Oh, it's probably Buddy Clark, but I don't know. Let's see.
Oh, that didn't sound like him, though.
Well, Buddy Morrow.
I know what
Buddy
you're
Morrow.
Talking
it's
about.
Buddy Morrow.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think that's the 30s. I think that's the 50s. I think Buddy Morrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
because I brailed on the record deck at the number 38.
Well, I think it came out in 53 because I think it was a flip side. So I'll look it up if you want. All right, let's go for Buddy Morrow. Okay. If I could only type, I can't get started. Okay. All right. It is a flip side. And 1953. Yeah. 1953. And there's several machinations of this, but they're all 1953. There's an album that he did that was on from 1957, Let's Have a Dance Party. But as far as Shellac or a single, 1953, RCA. So there.
And that's it.
Oh, okay. Good deal. Let's see. Probably the only thing on here by Buddy Morrow I have that I know I have is going to be his version of Night Train, which was interesting. And maybe some other big band stuff. But anyway, we'll get you your Evie Sands. We'll get you your Dells.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Carol Douglas, I don't even want to hear that again. Doctor's Honor. But Bobby Sheen, I like that. And like I say, I even liked it by the Whispers. So if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. We can talk about a plethora of things, meaning I have absolutely no idea. So call on WGN Radio.
Remember, sweetheart.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Early Dells, 1955 on VJ, Tell the World. And that was Lori wanted to hear. She also wanted to hear Evie Sands, which she will, coming up next. Now, 888-876-5593, if it's on your mind. Tons of diets out there. We talk about this from time to time because one is more bizarre than the next. However, this is a study that I don't know if it has promise or not, but it's interesting. And you don't have to eat anything strange or take any weird supplements or, God forbid, some pharmaceuticals. There's a study that Japanese researchers undertook that found that sound waves influence how our cells behave, including halting fat development. Now, of course, probably in other ways as well. But they say it's non-material, acoustic, non-invasive, safe, and immediate. All right, all sounds good to me. And so what was interesting to me is, forget about dieting, the difference that sound waves made on cells. And obviously sound is more than just noise, mechanical waves that create tiny vibrations traveling through the air, water, tissue, and all that. And of course, you know, you and I are nothing more than vibrations, just like everything else. And if you don't know that, I don't know, go sue your seventh grade science teacher, I guess. We've known that, long known that animals, for instance, have used sound vibrations to communicate. And, you know, that when they do things before inclement weather, I mean, earthquakes and such, but, how does sound affect us on a cellular level? So they did a study, started in 2018, and what they found out was that sound waves, in fact, influence genes involved in bone formation and in wound healing, which is potentially a very big one, a lot bigger than losing weight. And to investigate the effect of sound on cellular activities, they designed a system that would bathe cells in acoustic waves, cultured cells, don't you know. They tested three sounds on muscle cells. By the way, taken from mice. They didn't do this on people. And they had a 440 hertz tone, which is kind of the A note on the piano, a high-pitched 14 kilohertz tone, which is about the highest we hear before dogs hear it, you know, that kind of thing. And what they discovered was that after just 2 hours of sound exposure, 42 genes changed. After 24 hours, 145 genes showed alterations. And the way the cells responded depended on the frequency, the intensity, the pattern of the sound wave, and the type of cell, obviously. And the most significant finding, and this is where we get the weight loss plan, was that sound waves stopped certain differentiation, the process where precursor cells turn into mature fat cells that store fat. And when exposed to the sound vibrations, the researchers found that many of these cells didn't mature into fat cells, which they expected to happen. And those that did mature contained 15% less fat. So this obviously is in the early stages. And is it going to be a non-invasive treatment that could aid with everything from managing your metabolism to speeding wound healing? Hard to say. But you've also got Stanford University, which has been doing studies on sound waves to rearrange heart cells that are too tightly packed. And it's fascinating, really. Acoustic wave therapy, which sends vibrations right into our tissues, is being used to treat in certain conditions like chronic pain or even erectile dysfunction, but soft tissue injuries. And it can boost circulation and reduce inflammation as far as that goes. So now they're in the Japanese research, their next plan is to work with sound waves to target specific cell types and tuning specifically as well. So maybe more tailored non-invasive treatment. And sounds good to me. So that's what's going on in the world of science. All right, so Ruth and Gurney had a request. All right, very good. All right, Ruth, what is it you wanted to hear?
I'm back again, and there you are. Well, first, this is a song that I usually know such more about it, but the first artist's name is Russell, and the title is Someone to Remember Me. And I'm not too sure it's your archives, your, you know, favorite kind of a song, so it's okay if it doesn't meet your criteria. The next one would be, and I'm not going to ask you.
By the way, it's Russell Watson, and you got to hear that somewhere. You got to hear
that right off the top of your brain.
I absolutely did. I also know I'm not going to play it. So what else?
Okay, well, instead of saying top of the morning, evening, or whatever, we should start saying top of Raleigh's brain.
Oh, God.
That has even more credibility than all the other things out there.
Okay,
next song. And I don't dare ask for Pat Boone, but I would like, because you had done Nat King Cole, April Love. And I want to salute Scorpio, salute Sagittarius for Sergeant Precious' birthday, December 5th. And
I don't know that I'll play April Love. I just don't.
Nat King Cole's April Love.
Well, it's the song I don't like. You know, not the artist.
That I knew. I figured that out. Yeah. I figured it had to be more than just Pat Boone.
Yeah, no, actually, there are some Pat Boone records I like. I hesitate to admit it, but I like his version of July, You're a Woman. I thought Pat Boone nailed it on Tetragrammaton Records. I loved his Speedy Gonzales. I thought that was hilarious.
Okay. Well, some songs I would not ever diss anything that came out of Nat King Cole, because his voice is just phenomenal.
His voice is wonderful, but if we're going to play Nat King Cole, let's play something like That Sunday, That Summer. I mean, let's play good stuff.
Oh, I love that one, too.
Me too.
I love that. That's a great one, too.
I'll play that
you
for
might
you.
Have done a little bit. Okay, one more thing. One more thing. This I've been trying to find for a long time, since going back into the 1980s. I found it at a record shop in Round Lake, right there on Cedar Lake Road, right off of Cedar Lake Road. The flip side was Lasso You, The Moon, and the top song was Curly. That was my nickname when I was a kid. Exact duplicate for Shirley Temple. So I'm looking for that song and haven't been able to find it. And I had it as a 45 at one time, going back a long time ago. And maybe, just maybe, you find everything all the time. So there might be a chance you find that.
All right, I'll look for. I know the country version of that, which is much more recent, Gary Morris. But I'll look for something.
Okay, now I did not know that.
Yeah.
So if you decide that you like something and you want to play it, okay.
All right. As long
as it's got your backbone.
All right, I'll look. All right, good deal. I'll definitely get you your That Sunday, That Summer, because it's a great record.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, good deal. All right, so, yeah, I think that Gary Morris was, that's more than 10 years old now, but, yeah. All right, so, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh, and, yeah, I think Steve Dorff wrote that, but I'll have to look. I'll see what I can do. And we've got Chris in Greenwood who's got a request and all sorts of things coming up, and we got another hour of this, yeah, with Jim and Chris and you on WGN Radio.
It's love that you want, baby, you've got it. From the depths of my soul, baby, you've got it. But I've been watching you.
Enough of that. That's Evie Sands, Any Way That You Want Me, and that was, for Lori. All right, well, see, I'm willing to do almost anything for you. I think I broke out in a rash during that. 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Gary is in Austin. What's happening, Gary?
Well, thank you, Raleigh. Yeah, I think I did too.
Oh, God, just terrible. Truly terrible. I don't know.
Yeah, I was. You had a caller last night who was talking about that object that was going through the solar system.
Yes.
And that brought to mind the planet Nibiru, which is supposed to come through and wipe us all out in 10 or 15 years that I used to hear, you know, talk about, and I haven't, you know, heard anything about that.
A lot of people say that it doesn't exist. And if you remember, it was supposed to collide with the Earth in 2012 originally. And of course, that never happened. And I think it was that guy was always on Art Bell, Zechariah Sitchin, who had talked about Mesopotamia, and there was a planet Nibiru with a 3,600 year orbit. But does it exist?
Yeah, that's I used to, you know, hear about it every now and then, and then now, you know, you get. People would put these YouTube videos up, which you can see in the left corner. That
exactly. You know. You're right. The truth about Nibiru. And all of that. Yeah, I think there's been others, but near as I know, it doesn't exist. Now, of course, we may all be surprised if it suddenly collides with us. But as far as I've heard, you know, and the big thing, this was so big around the, you know, the 2012, the Mayan calendar was ending. And
yeah,
so,
it was, yeah.
Right, and so were all of us, you know. And so this was, you know, this was stuff for which Art Bell was born, you know, when you get right down to it.
Yeah.
And of course, nothing happened in 2012.
So, yeah, well, that and the singularity, you know, who knows what's going to happen in 10 years, you know.
As far as that goes, I wish that were non-existent, but obviously... artificial intelligence
there's
absolutely...
There's far more proof of that,
unfortunately. Yeah, it absolutely exists, and you know, none of us know what the end result would be, because when you're, you know, when you're building a system that theoretically outthinks man, but, you know, I still come down to... Everybody talking about it being, you know, like AI in the sense that it's going to be inductive reasoning. I think everything we're seeing is just forms of elegant deductive reasoning. The idea of actually doing anything to induce, I haven't yet seen that. And you know, I certainly think that that computations can be amazingly fast, with more zeros than I could ever end to it, and all that. But is any of it, and I haven't seen it yet, based on intuition rather than deduction?
Yeah. And we're living in interesting times, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. And one of the things that's been going on really since the 80s is that our technical ability has outstripped our reasoning and our wisdom. We can reason technically, of course, but in terms of the wisdom for what we should deploy or how we should deploy it, I don't know. Technology has sort of beaten that to hell and back, and it makes you wonder how this is going to, you know, wind up. I mean, long term, probably fine, but short term, next 100 years, I don't know.
I think one thing it's messed with is our attention span.
Oh, well, that's so true as far as that goes, because really, and I've said this before, mankind has not had too many real paradigm shifts. And, you know, I always consider fire to be divine intervention. So leaving that aside, the wheel changed society as the cave dwellers knew it. And really, the only one after that had been this whole lead up to digital technology. And I think you're starting in the 1700s with the Industrial Revolution, and that's all the precursor to this. It's all related. And you ultimately get down to true digital divide, if you will, thinking. And we don't know how that will change mankind. We know already we're seeing sociological, you mentioned like attention spans. The worst, I think, is, and nobody has been able to calculate this yet, but what happens to young people? Because as you're growing up, you individuate and you try on, you know, styles and modes of behavior and all that. And the good news is that it's forgotten when you get to adulthood. Well, you know, they always threatened us with our permanent record.
Not now.
That's right. That permanent permanent record suddenly exists. You know, it's going to go on your permanent record. Well, we didn't have a permanent record, but now they do. And that is very frightening, because how do you really grow up and mature without having the luxury of trying on identities?
Man, how do you go through your various stages of life where you can get to be where you are without people bringing it back up to you?
Well, that's
something
what
you don't want.
Right. That's exactly what I mean. And so we've never seen this societally. So it's changes like that that are probably seemingly minor compared to the bigger ones. But yeah, the attention span clearly. And, you know, many years ago, God, I guess it was the 80s, I had this guy on who was a restaurant architect. And one of the things he mentioned, when this was the latter 80s, and he said, but now people are asking for noisier locations because people don't want to talk to one another. Well, at the time I thought that, you know, that's crazy. You know, I'm all going like a baza here. You know, this guy is completely nuts. But the reality today is all the cell companies offer, you know, free voice. Yeah, because nobody's talking.
Yeah, that's true. I remember when a friend of mine took me to pick Fran up at the airport, and it was right around the time of the when the Shell oil rig blew up.
Oh, yeah.
And so we were in a restaurant eating, and this person was looking at her phone, just going, talking about this stuff. And here, you know, Fran had been on a trip for however long she was gone. And,
right.
You know, but I thought maybe we would all talk, you know.
Right, right, exactly. And
so, you know, this person looking at their phone, and we joked about that for years, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
So Fran.
Like, okay, here we are, you know, just talk about some other, this is a restaurant we're all going to eat. Now we're talking about, you know, oil fried shrimp. You know?
Right, right, exactly. So Fran is taking second billing to Deepwater Horizon. How lovely.
Yeah, right, yeah. So, well, not with me, with our friend.
No,
anyway.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you see that with families at restaurants all the time, where every one of them.
Oh, you do, yeah.
Yeah, every
you
one
do.
Of them has a cell phone. They're all buried in it. I don't know. Do you text mom? How does that work?
I don't know.
And of course, you know, we talk about things like voiceover with Jim, but the reality is that many people, if not the majority of young people today, are using voice commands. They're not actually typing out it. When teachers said, you know, texting, they're not going to know grammar. Hell, they're not going to know anything.
Yeah.
They're not reading. They're listening and they're speaking. Yeah,
yeah,
not,
they're
not
just speaking
good.
To
right.
You know, their smart device or their phone or whatever.
Exactly.
Tell mom hi or whatever.
Right.
And it's doing that.
Right.
And you don't have to figure out how you spell mom, you know.
Right. Right. All of that. So these are just probably some of the very minor changes. But, you know, society as we know it, I think, will ultimately be unrecognizable, you know, truly pre-digital, the 1600s or whatever, to how it's going to wind up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we talk every now and then about how if we could somehow send a tape of now back to our early years after we met and play the recordings of conversations we had now and then, we'd go, what are we talking about? You know, iPhone, what's that? You know,
all of that. Well, you know, where you see that very often is individuals who have spent lengthy stints in prison who get released. They literally need, you know, emotional help and therapy to use any devices today.
Sure. They don't know what they are.
Well, of course not.
That makes sense.
So, yeah.
You know, they don't know what the mores of society have changed to, or, you know, what people are talking about,
right.
You know.
And we're nowhere near conclusion. We're, you know, we're in the thick of this whole transformation. And, you know, I'll be long gone before we can say that.
Oh, yeah.
Really made that. But it's interesting to watch. And the thing I think that in terms of what we look, how does it affect society right now, all of us, I think the biggest way it does is the frustration that people feel having lost human interaction of customer service.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, literally, you wait on hold for 2 hours for your credit card company, you're in a murderous rage. You know, I feel sorry for the poor operator who answers the phone, you know, by that time. But it seems like everyone is living on their last nerve.
A few months back when Fran was talking to Social Security and she finished up with a rep and the rep said to her, thank you for being kind.
Right.
and most people aren't, you know, and we're all, so we've lost all of our anchors, as you say, and nothing's as it was, and you don't know how to do anything anymore and all this. So, you know, you take it out on whoever you have to deal with, unfortunately.
And, well, right. And I really think when we look at the rise in crime where it's one-on-one physical hostility and such, I come back down to we've got a society full of very frustrated people.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, so and, I don't have the answer, but boy, I see it every day.
I got a lot of questions. I don't have any answers.
Right,
I got a lot
right,
of questions.
Exactly. So here we are. Yeah, nothing we can do about it now.
Nope.
We picked this beforehand. We wanted to be here now, and here we are.
I may have to go and, you know, I may have to go talk to myself.
Believe me. Yeah, I got a lot to say once I get to the other side. We're going to have some deep talks about this. But, you know, I keep coming back to all those people who say it's not real, it's just a simulation. And, you know, maybe it is. But maybe that's the answer. Maybe we shouldn't be so involved.
You know, my mother used to say Earth is hell, so, you know, maybe she's right.
Yeah, prison planet. Yeah, sure. So I don't know. But, yeah, I keep trying to remember it might be a simulation and develop the screw-it mentality for everything.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, it's always wonderful to talk to you. Thank
great.
You.
Okay,
bye.
A lot.
All right,
okay,
good
bye-bye.
Deal. So, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. So good. The Marvelettes and Forever, 1963 on Tamla. And that was on the push side of that record. They were pushing Lock It Up My Heart, and which Wanda Young sang lead. But I do think that it might have been Gladys Horton. There's a fight about that, and I've never really gotten down to listening closely to decide. But either way, I don't care who sang it. It's a great record. Yeah, even the Vital Tones couldn't screw it up. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Chris in Greenwood has a request. All right, Chris, what you want to hear?
What I want to hear is You Can't Turn Me Off by High Energy.
Okay, let me write this down. I don't know if I have it, but I'm going to look for it.
Oh, yeah. Their name is not starts with an E, it starts with an I.
Right. Right. Chris in Greenwood. Okay. All right. I will look for this.
Oh, yeah. And you get play it tomorrow or tonight?
Well, it depends. I might play it tonight if I can find it. All right. So if it's on here, you'll hear it tonight. If not, I'll have to pull it from vinyl tomorrow because I'm sure I've got it that way. All right.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. So, all right, always good to hear from Chris, star of stage, screen, and CBS TV promos, yes, which we told you all about last week. So, 888-876-5593. We'll start with Jim from Richmond, but the news is going to interrupt us, I just know. Now, by the way, before we get there, speaking of Wisconsin, Sam from Wisconsin, give us a call and tell us that the abduction has been settled and that Emery is back home and all is good. We want to know. All right, so now, Jim in Richmond, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Riley.
Hey, Jim.
Thank you for taking my call.
Always.
I just wanted to tell you that it was so wonderful that my sister's daughter came in from South Carolina.
Good.
And she calls me Godfather because she doesn't even call me by my name.
Okay.
And the procedure went today. And she kept everybody informed because she's an emergency nurse in South Carolina. And it turns out, I don't understand this, but they said that her artery was only one-third blocked.
Okay,
so
good.
They didn't do anything, and they're going to treat it by medicine. And it was so great to talk to her. And then it was so great to talk to her 11-year-old daughter, who turns out to sound exactly like her mother when she was at that age. But none of my siblings can understand that, but I can because I'm good audio-wise, you know.
Okay.
And, you know, and that was that. And then also I wanted to tell you that I'm working very well.
Hang on a minute.
Phone.
No, you got to hang on. Don't go away. We'll pick it up right there after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Darling, when you're next to me, I melt. I feel so weak. It's getting hard to go to sleep. This feeling.
For Chris in Greenwood, high energy. You can't turn me off in the middle of turning me on. And that was 1977 on Motown. All right, so there you go, Chris. It was 77, so I did have it. It was on here. All right, now we're going to get back to Jim in a moment, but hold on and you'll know why. I keep asking about Sam, and Sam from Gurnee has called. So, Sam, what is the deal?
Hi, Riley. Thank you so much for taking my call. I've been listening to your radio program. I thank you. And John and all your listeners for the prayers. But my granddaughter has not been found, but
for
general whereabouts, they believe that they, according to some police activity and phone calls that I've received, they believe that they have a general whereabouts.
Oh, my. I was so convinced that you would be calling with good news. All right. So a general whereabouts, so they at least have found her father or close to her father. When you say general whereabouts, is she relatively close, do you think, in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, I don't know that emphatically. What I do know is what I just shared with you.
Okay.
And that they think they have a general whereabouts for her. And she lives in Milwaukee.
Right.
And they think that they have a general whereabouts that she may be in. My God, I wish I could remember the name. I've been up for 3 weeks.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think she's been gone for 24 days.
Oh, no. That's amazing. Well, I'm so glad they at least think they've narrowed this down.
They said west of Milwaukee.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. I can't remember the town.
No, that. But please keep us posted, and we are going to continue to pray. So this is a much longer time than I thought, and I'm very surprised that they haven't yet found them. Oh man! All right.
Yeah. So it's. I'm trying to remember the town, but I'm sorry, I can't remember.
No, that's all right. And then again, also law enforcement might not want to give that information out. You know, they may want to keep some of what they're doing.
Well, that could be too. So
yeah, so we don't.
I've been listening to your program. I listen to you every night. So just thank you so much for all your prayers, your listeners' prayers for John and you. And I just, when I heard the message, I just wanted to get in touch with you and let you know what I knew. And so I'm just...
Well, please give us updates, and we will continue to pray.
I will.
All right.
I will certainly do that as I learn. But like I said, I'm just... You're up for 24 hours, and...
Oh, of course.
You know, you're trying to just keep your P's and Q's and just pray and hope and all that. So I am grateful for you and John and your program and all your listeners, and I'm just trying to get through it, and so please forgive me for not being in touch as much as
I understand, but yeah, believe me, we've had a lot of interest in this from listeners as well, saying give us an update. So from time to time, if you'll call, hopefully next time it'll be great news. I'm glad they think they've got a general area. And I'm also glad that as horrible as this is, it doesn't seem like anyone believes that her father will bring her harm, which was the real worry. Because I think if they believed that, this would have been an Amber Alert all over the place.
Yeah, so I certainly hope not. But he has, without getting into anything specific, he has severe mental issues.
Yeah, I know you've mentioned
that. That is, of course, I have concern that he could bring her harm, but so far that hasn't been the news, so just holding out hope, and I thank you so much.
Thank you, and call again soon.
I will,
okay,
Raleigh.
Good.
Thank
all
you
right.
very much.
So let's pray for good news on that. All right, so, man, I was just so convinced, but shows you. So, yeah, Emery. All right, Jim in Richmond. Back to Jim. Sorry about that. Now, back to your sister.
I want everyone to please pray for Emery.
Yes, absolutely. And we will.
Right. And my sister's going to be okay, but I couldn't understand why one-third of your artery is blocked and you don't do anything, but they said they're going to use medicine.
Well, you want to do the least invasive things you can do. And the most conservative thing. So, you look at it the other way. Two-thirds of her artery is open and functioning. So they're hoping that with pharmaceuticals, they'll resolve it. You know, you can always go in and cut, but you want that to absolutely be the option of last resort.
Right. But when mine happened to me, I was working and working and working. And then all of a sudden, I thought I had pneumonia again because my chest hurt so bad.
Yeah.
And then I drove to the emergency room because my doctor told me, you might get a chest x-ray. You might have pneumonia again.
And then they found out that three of my arteries were 75% blocked.
Yeah,
you know?
Now three quarters is a lot different than one third.
Right.
Yes. Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
And then we were talking amongst the siblings, and we went down the list. My father had to have a pacemaker put in. My mother had to have quadruple bypass, and then I had to have a triple bypass, and then now my youngest brother was passing out all the time. They couldn't understand why, and he had to have a defibrillator put in, mm-hmm. and then now my sister with this, with the artery, and they were going...
Well, you know, something...
A family of heart issues.
But keep this in mind. One thing in common is they all survived.
Right, right.
So that's the good news. And that's thanks to medical science being where it is. Usually I say medical science is an oxymoron, but in some cases they've got some things down very well, and I'm grateful for that.
I like when you say that they're practicing medicine.
Oh, yeah, and yeah, exactly. I'm so sick of them practicing on me. I really am. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to tell you, I have my phone down.
Good.
And it's you know, I don't have voiceover yet.
You will.
But if I get a text message, it comes over my phone, and it reads me the text message before I even... answer the phone.
Good, you're on and your then, way.
Right, but this has been going on for a while. Yeah. And then when I make a phone call, I'm going to call her because I don't want her to answer. But I ask her to call somebody,
right.
And then she calls.
Yeah.
And then when they send me a text, when they send me an email or something, I ask her to read it, and she reads it to me. So
right.
I have that all down.
Well, and you're going to increase that, hopefully, every day.
Right.
And don't give in to the frustration, because I know anything new is frustrating for all of us. The learning curve is a bitch, but you're going to get there.
Right. I know I fell apart last night, and I apologize.
That's all right. We're not going to let you fall apart.
And then I wanted to tell you about my first, when I got my first job, and I was buying everything for my mom and everything. And I bought my first stereo.
Uh-huh.
And it was, from this day, this was like 75 or whatever. I think it was a Panasonic, stereo.
Okay.
And then I heard the very first song that came over it. And I know you don't like them, but the song was Riders on the Storm.
Okay. That's all right.
And I love that song.
All right.
And then... when I bought my second stereo, which was a Marantz.
Okay.
Really big receiver. And then it had Sherwin Vega speakers.
Right.
It must have been three feet tall.
Right.
Gigantic speakers in it.
Yeah.
And then I turned that one on. And guess what song played when I turned it on?
There you got Riders on the Storm again.
Right. So I don't know if that's on your list of things you can play.
I'll try to find it. It won't be easy, but I'll bet you it's
right.
On here,
but it's
somewhere.
Not,
all right.
It's not a controversial song.
No, it's just not anything I like. But I can find it and play it for you.
Right, and John may like it.
Well, I don't think so. But who knows? I'll ask him. We'll find out. All right, well, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, so 888-876-5593, and we'll get to Eric in Champaign, and absolutely there's room for you. And if you don't get in tonight, remember, there's 3 big hours tomorrow. So either way, want to hear from you on WGN Radio.
If I had to choose just one day.
If I had to choose. Just one day to last my whole life through, it would surely be that Sunday, the day that I met you. Newborn whippoorwills were calling from the hills. Summer was a-coming in, but fast. Lots of daffodils were showing off their skills. Nodding all together, I could almost hear them whisper, go on, kiss her, go on and kiss her. If I had to choose one moment to live within my heart, it would be that tender moment, recalling how we started. Darling, it would be when you smiled at me that way, that Sunday, that summer.
WGN Radio, I'm Roddy James. Love that, just love that. 1963 on Capitol. Nat King Cole, that Sunday, that summer. Yeah, all right. Takes me where I want to go, that's for sure. And I did some little research again on whether Forever was Gladys Horton, which I didn't think. I thought it was Wanda Young. And there are several places that say it's Gladys Horton, but the definitive site told me I was right, it's Wanda Young. All right, so there. Sadly, both ladies are no longer with us. Gladys Horton's been gone a while, since, I think, 2011. And she had a tough life. She was in a number of foster homes in Inkster. She was born in Gainesville, Florida, though. And I think her parents were from the West Indies, and they put her up for adoption. It was tough. And sadly, Wanda Young's no longer with us either. And she's been gone since 2021. All right, rest in peace, both. 888-876-5593. All right, we're going to get to Eric in Champaign, but real quickly, Annette in Carol Stream has a request. What is it you want to hear, Annette?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to mention, with all the talk about hearts, I was going to tell you I'm wearing a heart monitor right now because they're trying to figure out why I passed out numerous times last year.
Oh, man, is it one of those two-week tests?
Just 1 week for this, they
okay.
said.
Okay.
But then I might have a stress test after that,
Oh,
too.
Sure. Yeah, a stress echo. That's always good.
I had those before a long time ago, but it's all changed, you know?
Oh, of course. Of course. Then they get into nuclear and all that. Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully this is going to show everything is benign.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's because of some medication that I was on, but they don't want to admit that until they check everything, you know?
Isn't that the truth? And even when they check everything, they're hesitant to admit that. You're so right.
Yes. So I was just remembering that way back in the 70s, I used to go to a number of concerts, which I don't anymore, and my boyfriend always wanted to go to certain types, and I want to go to other types. But the ones that I liked the most, I think, that he took me to were by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Okay.
And I wonder if you'd play something by them. I was thinking either September or Shining Star.
I will play, and John's favorite is September, too. I'm done tonight, but I will play September as my first bumper tomorrow night.
Okay, great.
All right, be listening, and thanks. All right, keep me posted on that heart.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
thanks.
You.
All right. So yeah, those monitors for a week or two, and then very often it doesn't tell you much. Hopefully that's going to be the case. All right. So 888-876-5593. Eric in Champaign. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up, Raleigh? In a couple of words, too much. You know, I've known you for like 5 years, known you by all your family, all the people on the radio. And every time I've ever called and had any interaction with you has been on the upside, you know, positive news about music and everything. Now, I know full well I won't have time to talk about this tonight. And if I want to talk about this tomorrow, which I really do, I'd have to call you tomorrow. But this is all about personal life and how crappy it's going and why. And it's a big commentary. I'll try not to talk too long tomorrow, but it's about the government and society and what it's become and that. A couple callers ago, the guy said that his mom told him this earth is hell. Well, you better know it. And this isn't a threat. This isn't saying something stupid. But if my life don't get better, and I've tried everything, and I'm not a depressive person, okay, I got to say all this stuff fast. I don't have mental health problems. I'm in a wheelchair, a regular manual wheelchair, so I have very limited mobility, and my life ain't great. But I want to talk to you for at least a little bit about the things that have happened lately that have left me desolate, hopeless and nowhere to turn.
Okay.
But we do that. How about we do that tomorrow,
no,
Raleigh?
That's good, and I want to hear it. Now, it can't be political, though, because we don't discuss politics, so it can't be that.
Right.
But it can
right,
be.
But we definitely don't.
We can talk about
it
your.
It could be about the. How about the system?
How about the system,
and the way it's changed?
No, we're not going to.
It's not a lot of. No. Okay, it's political. Yeah, okay, then I'll tell you how much it has.
All right, we'll talk about you without that. We're not going to get political, but I will leave you with one thing between now and then, and this is not one of those pie in the sky comments. It's 100%
good.
True. Even
good.
In the worst times, some people prosper, and I'm not talking about financially necessarily. You can be one of them. So when you're looking at the system and saying it's all
against you. You don't have a... Raleigh, could you live without a roof over your head? The answer would be no. No, I didn't want to go there, but...
All right, but the answer is no one has to, and that's what we'll talk about. All right, looking forward to it.
I disagree. Right. I disagree. Okay. I'll call you tomorrow.
All right, good deal. Bye. Yeah, it's all an attitude, and believe me, I understand times can be tough. Yeah, and as far as that goes, but we'll save that. I feel bad for Eric, and I don't know that I can do anything, but I will certainly listen. And maybe you'll have some suggestions. Meanwhile, Naoto's going to close it out, I hope, on a happier note. He's in Japan. So, okay, Naoto, you got a request?
Yeah, this is my first time requesting a song.
Yeah, what is it?
Yeah, it's Roaches by Court Jesters.
What is it?
Roaches by Court Jesters.
I don't know it, I don't think.
I think you played this song before, like Roaches.
Okay. So you're talking about the Roaches, the R&B thing? Roaches on the... Don't leave your food out on the table? That one?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you want to hear Roaches... I thought you said that, and then I thought, nah, he can't be saying that. All right.
No.
Yeah, I never would have expected that. That's great. That's great,
yeah,
Naoto.
Roaches season.
Yeah. Don't leave your food out on the table. Roaches. Yeah. All right. You will hear that tomorrow night, Naoto. I promise.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's great. All right. Yes, Roaches. Right. All right. Maybe we'll do a whole Hungry set. All right. We could possibly talk about that. All right. So it is the waning moment. So I'm trying to think of something uplifting. Yeah, to say, because I feel really bad for Eric, but. You know, it's horrible to say life is what you make it, but life is what you make it. You know, we were talking before about Bill Weiland, the guy who lost both of his legs in 1969, and how he walked across the country on his hands and as a motivational speaker. He is still alive. I looked that up. He's living in West Covina in California, and he continues to prosper. And there again, when I say prosper, we're not necessarily talking financial, but, you know, everything was going against this guy. And he pulled it out. And I firmly believe that we all have the ability to do that. But we get so mired in life itself. And I don't mean to minimize that. But yeah, sometimes I do think that probably onto something when they say that it's a simulation. Yeah, so maybe don't take it too seriously. And there's always a workaround, no matter what it is. All right, so I know, on that note. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air, and we thank John for screening your calls. He did bring me the Doors record, but I'm not sure I'll play it. Or, yeah, on vinyl, no less. I'm not sure we'll do that. But we'll definitely get to Roaches and September, and hopefully your calls tomorrow night. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.